Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Well, on tonight's show, we'll talk to Ciara Griffin, captain of the Irish rugby team. Ireland 2-for-2 in the Six Nations thus far. They go to England in 2 weeks' time. She'll be with us around 7:30. Tim Vickery on the football show will talk to us about Pele. According to Pele's son, he's struggling very badly to cope with physical struggles in his 80th year now. Embarrassed to be in a wheelchair, it seems. So we'll talk to Tim about Pele and the love for him, or otherwise over in Brazil. Mick Foley of the Sunday Times on the annual report of the GAA Director General. And then Tiger Roll given top weight for his Cheltenham hat-trick bid. Johnny Ward with us. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick is here. Hello.
How are you, Joe?
And Nathan Murphy as well. Hello.
How are you?
Oh, listen. The winds of political change sweeping across the country, as you know. But the most important issue is happening at Clare County Council on the 17th of February.
Go on.
Independent councillors Gerry Flynn, Anne Norton and PJ Ryan have submitted a motion for next week's meeting of the local authority. This is motion number 30.
It is the county ground or Kisig Park.
Health.
It's directed to Minister for Communications or Finance to request that the state broadcaster, RTE, reinstate Joe Brawley ASAP. His removal from the panel has, quote, taken away from the enjoyment of the game for many people. That is item 30 on the agenda. Now, item 31, I checked.
Go on.
Is how do we better promote Shannon Airport? Forget about that. That's off the agenda.
We don't need to promote Shannon Airport.
We're not getting to that.
Those Americans are flying in there every week. Shannon Airport will be just fine.
Make some nice military money out of Shannon. It's fine. No,
that's parked. Yeah. Once we hit item 30, we're staying on it. Reinstate Joe Brawley. So I see the Irish Times, Malachy Clerkin, decided to ring the councillors and see, well, what's the story here? This would seem, you know, not that important an issue. It is an important issue, it turns out.
Yeah, it's item 30, Joe.
I've put forward the motion, and I've got a couple of my colleagues from Clare County Council to co-sign it, Flynn told the Irish Times, in his fourth term as a councillor.
So he's no Johnny-come-lately.
No, he's a man of the people.
I presume he gets paid for this offering as well. That's the other thing. Taxpayers' money going to good
no.
effect.
Councillors get a very low salary, as far as I know. It's expenses.
You're doing it for the love of the game.
Well, he's getting expenses for this. I'm a sports fanatic, he said.
He's in the right gig.
No, sorry, it gets better. And I'm suffering from withdrawal symptoms since he was removed from the RTE panel. He was a fantastic guy. I loved watching him play the game and I loved watching him analyse it. Where I'm coming from, my favourite line, maybe it's PC gone mad. I don't know. But I think RTE are basically sterilising all analysts now into a position where it's scripted. Joe Brawley says something very similar, interestingly.
Weird.
Where it's scripted and taken away from the enjoyment of the game. I'm only giving you this from the point of view of my constituents and my good self. End quote.
What's this guy's name again?
Gerry Flynn, non-party.
Non-party, independent. So an independent thinker.
An independent thinker, indeed.
Now, maybe this is something that is riling up the good people of Clare, the good football people of Clare. One obvious issue to start with is that, as far as I'm aware, there have been 2 weeks of, 3 weeks of Gaelic football, two matches on RTE since Joe Councilor, Brawley was...
Councillor Flynn is struggling with that.
Joe Brawley was on the television for the All-Ireland final last year. So he's missed, what, three matches?
Well, it's been a difficult time.
But he has been on Air Sport. So...
Just get air.
Has Gerry just not tuned in? Has he given the Gooch and Kieran Whelan a chance?
It wasn't just the punditry, explained Flynn.
Well...
He was entertaining, he was knowledgeable as well. For a state broadcaster, by the way, I love Joe Brawley as well.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm not a councillor bringing this up on Monday, ahead of promoting Shannon Airport. For a state broadcaster that's funded by public money to be carrying on like that, I wouldn't be happy with it. So I decided to put the motion to Clare County Council, and it will be directed towards the Minister for Communications and the Minister for Finance. I'm sure the new ministers will clear the decks for this one. At the end of the day, RTE receives state funding. The outcome I'm hoping for is that my colleagues support it and it becomes an active motion and it will have some bit of value going forward.
When they say some bit of value, like what's the next step after this?
A protest, I don't
Do
know.
Do they take it to their local TD? Does the TD bring it up in the door?
Because this is exactly what we need. We need politicians influencing the state broadcaster. We need politicians deciding what pundits are allowed on the television. I too would love to see more of Joe Brawley.
Indeed.
The more Joe Brawley, the better.
He signs off with Malachy Clerkin in the Irish Times saying, look, I'm duty bound as a councillor that if constituents are coming to me and saying they didn't think it was a good thing to do, the best thing I can do is put it forward and get a minister and land it on the desk of RTE.
Now,
Can we all make suggestions for who we'd like to have on the RTE panel?
Well, now that I think about it.
I mean, if I worked at Shannon Airport right now, I'd be thinking, really, Jerry?
They're grand. They're
really?
Grand. They've got a war about to kick off in the US, like between the US and some Middle East country within the next year or two.
So when Jerry's in his... Do councillors even have constituency offices? I'm not quite sure. Is he in Clare Castle or somewhere of a Tuesday afternoon and somebody rocks in, gives their initial feedback about the quality of the roads and then goes, it's a disgrace, isn't it, what happened to Joe Brawley? And they're just having a polite conversation. And next day, your man's sitting at home going, oh, no, but like, I didn't need this brought to the attention of the minister.
Well,
I was just saying I'd like to see Brawley back.
This is going all the way to the top. So that's what's going on in Clare County Council. Meanwhile, Nathan, last night, you weren't here, we had the highest ever entry for a competition in JP's 3.5 years.
Wow, huge.
Producing OTB. Mm. Valentine's Day on the way. Roses, obviously a lovely gift. All this week, we're teaming up with Aldi to celebrate Valentine's Day. Research carried out by Aldi has shown that 60% of men buy flowers for their special someone after 5:30 in the evening on Valentine's Day.
Who are these people?
Monsters. If you've no excuses this year, though, you can get a dozen roses at Aldi from €3.79, right up to the Naomi Roses Showstopper Bouquet, €49.99. As part of our partnership and for the week that's in it, we're giving away €300 in Aldi vouchers every night this week for your chance to win. And please do spend some of that money on roses. Mm. For your chance to win, don't just do your shopping and come home on Valentine's Day.
Well,
get maybe the three, a nice dessert. Might
I was
be
just
going to
say, get the €3.49.
79.
And get yourself, a couple of nice steaks.
Get yourself
a steak.
€269.21 worth of goods.
So as people have seen on our social media yesterday, Aldi very kindly sent in...
The Showstopper Bouquet.
Did you get away with it?
Oh no.
Oh no, me either.
She saw the picture.
Yes.
But I have to say, as I strolled out of work here last night and walked down the street, I could feel I was the centre of attention on the street. Mm. Men, women, everyone was looking at me, either resenting me or I would say swooning. Look at that guy.
Swooning,
Bringing home some flowers.
You're the amazing husband bringing home the massive bouquet.
100%. It turns out I had the exact same feeling. There is no negativity, it turns around, to buying flowers.
Oh.
On a random day, you're walking down the street and men are going, I wish I could be that guy.
Can't I be that guy?
Who's just buying flowers for his partner
or
on a Monday evening. And all the women are like, God almighty, that guy.
He's the one.
Yeah, but it's like it's Monday and it's not you're a couple of weeks out from Valentine's Day yet. Are people not looking at you thinking,
what's he done?
What has he done? How has he fouled up that badly that of a Monday he's going home with the deluxe bouquet edition?
It's more about you than us, I have to say, Richie. For your chance to win, simply answer this question.
Actually, that there.
It's there. And we should tell you the answer is related in some way to Valentine's Day and romance. So, name the wrestler who won the WWF world title in 1992.
Stop. When in 92?
The answer,
SummerSlam.
The answer
Wembley.
Last year, by the way, was Davis Love III. Davis Love III?
No, it didn't change hands at Wembley.
It doesn't matter. 92, WWF. Well, we all know who it is. Name a wrestler that's to do with Valentine's Day.
There was at least two different changes of hands in 92.
Text your name and answer 53106 for 30 cents, all with thanks to Valentine's Day at Aldi. I don't see, says Fiona, what you find so funny about that submission. You sound like Right Muppets. I totally agree, bring Joe back, Fiona in Longford.
I don't
mind if people want to bring Joe Brawley back.
Agreed.
Just don't waste council time.
Agreed. That was the point. If you live with your significant other, where do you hide the flowers if you buy them before Valentine's Day? I don't know. Oh, that's a good point, actually. I mean, you have to buy them on Valentine's Day.
Mm. No.
So after 5:30 is when work finishes.
Well, that's true.
I think the specificity of the time is the issue there.
I would have just thought it's a bit risky leaving it that late, that you could go
and there's nothing
to the shop and there's nothing there.
Get there.
So
the litter.
I brought home the, what's the name of them again? The 50 quid ones, the really good ones we got?
Naomi Rose's Showstopper Bouquet.
You know you really care when you're branding the price.
So I wasn't sure, I better just bring them home again. I didn't realise my wife followed everything that we did online, but straight away within 5 minutes, I saw those flowers. So obviously she said, oh, well, you don't need to buy me flowers now. But I'm not quite sure.
Where do you lie now?
It's treacherous, Nathan.
Like, they're still going to be in perfectly fine condition. They're in water.
Yeah,
on Friday, they'll just be
blooming.
But
you still have to make
blooming.
A gesture.
Look at my wilting flowers on Valentine's Day.
So this is the decision.
Look, you don't have to buy flowers. It's not to say you couldn't buy a present.
I guess there is the advantage, say, if you're not at work on Friday, you can weigh up the general prevailing mood by about 5:00.
Mm-hmm.
And if things are going bad, you can then head in by 6:30 and
is
be one of those guys.
Wait a second, where's your present? This might be the question.
Just got you 50 quid of roses. What's the problem?
Right, we have to move on to more serious matters. So We have Ciara Griffin, Irish captain, on the show 7:30. Ireland 2-2 already in the Six Nations after last year. Well, we had Philip Doyle on, former manager of Ireland. He said the 15s game was being dismantled, effectively. They were beaten by Italy for the first ever time. They were down to 10th in the rankings, Spain moving above them. It all looked very grim. Things seemed to be on the up this year. So we'll talk to Ciara Griffin 7:30. And then Michael Foley in studio, Richie, on our first story tonight.
Yes, indeed. The GAA have a part to play in curbing spending on intercounty sides. That's according to the association's Director General, Tom Ryan. The GAA's annual report showed an 11.6% increase to nearly €30 million in the cost of preparing and fielding intercounty teams. The final cost of Porky Cueve was shown to be €96 million, with €31.5 million of that borrowed from the bank and the GAA. Ticket sales accounted for almost half of the GAA's record total revenue of €73.9 million. But Ryan says it's going to take some creative thinking to bring down intercounty spending.
We haven't cracked that. There was a period 3 or 4 years ago when that cost appeared to be, if not coming down, at least appear to be capped. It's increasing again, and it's not really sustainable. I mean, the sheer amount of pressure that it puts on counties financially is unsustainable, and the pressure it puts on county officers individually, as volunteers, to both bring in that funding, to make sure that funding is deployed to the best effect within counties. The sheer amount of stress, hassle, pressure that it puts on all of us is not sustainable. We need to address that.
Yeah, we'll talk to Mick Foley about this after 8 o'clock. And certainly the Porky Cueve situation is one that Mick, obviously down in the area, has paid close attention to. I asked him essentially, do we know how this has gone so badly wrong from 70 whatever million estimate up to high 90s? And really, there's no clear answers, is the short version. Mick will expand on all that after 8 o'clock. But it's a real mess they've made of things. Crow Park, the lesson they've learned is they're going to involve themselves more in future stadiums when they're being built.
Well, the interest level seemed to just fall off a cliff when there was that sort of separation of church and state, whereby once it was made clear that the Cork County Board weren't going to be landed with this bill, that it was a separate company that were in charge of the stadium, then it seemed as though the interest levels waned. Mm. But you look at the size of that debt. Like, that's going to be...
Should be more
years and years.
Yeah, years and years. Well, Mick made that point, yeah. So he's on the way after 8 o'clock. Also, interesting stuff around the grounds at Clonliffe College.
Yeah, with the release of today's report, the association also outlined plans for the recently purchased grounds at Clonliffe College. They plan to install 2 full-size pitches, a clubhouse and change room facilities. The remaining unused acreage has been sold to international property development company Hines. It's Ryan's understanding, pardon me, that this site will be developed for housing with a GAA stipulation that 10% of this will be affordable housing and a further 10% will be social housing. Sticking with matters GAA, former Tyrone Minor star Conor McKenna has returned to Ireland. His AFL side Essendon say the 23-year-old has left them due to homesickness and family-related reasons. Essendon say they'll continue to support McKenna during this period. Meanwhile, current Tyrone forward Colin McShane has revealed he was close to signing for the Adelaide Crows. The All-Star had a 10-day trial with the Aussie Real side, but securing a job in his native county led him to stay. McShane told this morning's OTB AM that the lure of continuing to line out for the right-hand county was the primary reason behind his decision not to move to Australia.
And everybody's very supportive in terms of, you know, what I was going to do. I think obviously my family were saying, here, listen, Cal, it's up to you, and you're old enough, mature enough now to go and do what you want to do and things like that. Again, it was a good experience, but no, I don't. Mickey wasn't saying, no, here, you better stay here. Whatever he was saying, he was aware that I was going out. But again, that, you know, I had made well clear that I would have to come home and make a decision. So I was just going to sort of get the experience, and obviously if it went really well, and I felt this was for me, then it could be a possibility. But as I say, the Adelaide Crows are they're very, very respected bunch of guys out there, and they treated me well when I was out there, and you know, I did have a good experience. But again, just coming home, obviously you have to sort of think there's a deadline in place, so you had to try and, you know, weigh up everything and make your decision before that time passed, obviously. And that's what I did.
Great news for Tyrone.
Yes. Obviously. Like, All-Star for 4. It's incredible how it played out, where everyone assumed he was gone. Then there was a story from Ty Kennelly that, well, even if he does go, he should be around for this season. And then out of nothing, suddenly he's pictured standing with a new job, Mickey Hart by his side.
Mm. Everyone brings a GAA manager to the first day at work, don't they?
I don't think it's unusual. Obviously, an All-Star is somebody you would want working for your company.
Yeah.
And I never had a huge issue with this, that of people within the GAA, inter-county players, being helped along in their careers. Like, why wouldn't you want them? They have the profile. Any company would want the profile. And they're as entitled as anybody else to take advantage of that. Like, clearly, we look at the money that's hovering around the GAA when you look at the figures that were released today and over the last week or so. If the players can get any part of that, why would it be an issue?
What if there's somebody, say, on the fringes of a panel, not just the tournament, but any panel, who isn't afforded the same opportunities and looks at people ahead of them being, you know, ushered into the inter-county scene, ushered into the starting 15, and then given a job on top of that as well?
But the alternative, I don't think, is that more people get jobs. I think it's just that nobody gets a job. So what's the problem with that?
To be fair, we don't actually exactly know
what the optics
the nature of that either, to be fair. But anyway, it's great news for Tyrone and he's happy to stay and I'm sure Mickey Hart's delighted. The competition's answer, I know you were wondering this, Richie.
Told you.
He won wrestling's house show in Canada on October 12th.
In Saskatchewan.
I'm going to say yes.
Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I know exactly who this is.
We're getting lots of wrong answers. We did say, by the way, that the answer was related in some way to Valentine's Day and romance. So people have guessed.
And if you're talking Canada,
it's Canada's greatest hero.
It can only be one person.
Well, someone said Randy Savage.
I mean, in its own way, it's Valentine's related.
Jake the Snake?
Nathan, please.
Stop now. Ric Flair, a few people have guessed. Hulk Hogan, a few people have guessed.
No,
none of those are the answer.
Was SummerSlam 92
SummerSlam
Wembley?
SummerSlam 92 Wembley, yeah.
I remember back in the good old days of Ballyhonus when, so it would have been about 11, peak wrestling period, obviously. Didn't have Sky Sports. Would have been on box office back then?
Yeah, I think it was on Sky Sports.
One of the great things about SummerSlam 92 was that it was a reasonable hour. So whereas most wrestling events start at 1 in the morning, this was on during daytime hours. But I didn't have Sky. So I went down to the local Sky dealer, told him my plight, and he agreed to put on Sky Sports for the weekend on their big screen in the shop window. And myself and my mate brought down a couple of stools and we sat outside his shop window on a Sunday afternoon.
That is amazing.
From about 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock watching SummerSlam.
That's
no
class.
Sound.
Give him a shout out. What a man.
God be with the days.
No longer open.
Do you remember the cabling channel?
Probably for
the... You probably would have got it in Salbridge as well, but the cabling channel used to have this like frame of squares that were all the channels that were available on Cablelink, including the sports one. But every 30 seconds would flash up Sky Sports. So if there was a match on, you used to sit there watching the cabling channel to see a tiny little square that had the match on in it and then would be gone for the other half of the minute.
No, I didn't.
That's how you used to watch matches back in the day, Joe.
For far too big a portion of my childhood, I was inflicted with the Irish channels and no more. Not even a bit of BBC.
No, I was always quite entrepreneurial when it came to
That's good work, to be fair.
You had to be well organised. So you had to go in the Thursday, Friday, get his agreement, remind him on the Friday to please do this.
I admire your dedication to the graps. You should come along to OTT on March 14th.
It's more a nostalgia thing now. So BT Sports have got the rights for all the wrestling.
Yeah.
And they put on a lot of the
ITV4 have the alternative now as well. AEW.
What's the alternative?
AEW, All Elite Wrestling.
Right.
Yeah.
You go to live wrestling?
I will be on the 14th of March, yes.
Where does it take place?
National Stadium, Scrappermania 5, I think.
And is that more real than WWE? Or is it the exact same thing?
Nathan, come on now. We all know what the story is.
But I'm not sure. I've always wondered that.
I would have thought at the lower ranks it might be a bit more physical.
Like, is there more pain?
Depends on the match. But you, like,
but is it a similar situation where it's agreed in advance who's going to win?
That's all professional wrestling, Nathan. I hate to break it to you.
But that's what I'm just wondering. So they're all actors. They all just do it for the love
actors,
of it.
They're performers, Nathan.
Are you going because of your son or are you just into this?
Just into this. It's an over 15th thing. I'm not bringing him.
What? Okay.
Yeah, right. I seem to have broken something in Joe here. This is good.
Are you genuinely into it?
Yeah.
What's the appeal?
It's just good entertainment.
And do you know the personalities involved?
Some of them in this one, yeah.
Did Sheamus start off in this type of thing?
Well, yes, but a different company. He started off in a company called Irish Whip.
How many wrestling companies are there in Ireland?
There's actually a few different promoters now put on shows. Like a decent handful.
And the National Stadium, so are they going to pack out the National Stadium?
Yeah, they'll be packed. Any time they put on a show on the stadium.
And how many fights are there?
How many was the last time?
Do they have a Hell in a Cell?
Seven, I think. I don't know. They haven't got the... Have you ever been... You've been in the stadium.
Yeah.
They haven't got the height for that. They had a cage match in there before, though. That's it. But there's no room to really jump off the top because you're smacking your head. You all right, Joe? You're looking at me queer.
So is this like... The guys who are doing this, yeah, is it just their pastime?
For some of them, it is.
Are they getting paid?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And most of them, it is, actually.
Like, are they doing it with the ambition of getting to a bigger stage?
Yeah. There's one Irish performer, Martina is her performing name. She's gone on to...
Not the greatest performing name.
Well, she's called the Session Moth Martina. She's gone on to perform Ring of Honor over in the States here at the weekend. So she's been signed to a US company.
And will this be a sellout, very popular?
Yeah.
Village, yeah.
How much are tickets?
These ones are like 25.
Wow.
Jeez, I can never predict what you will like and won't like, ever. So we're talking to Johnny Ward about Tiger Roll. What's the story?
Tiger Roll will carry top weight as he aims to win an unprecedented third Grand National in a row. The 10-year-old will saddle 11 stone 10 pounds, as will Stephen Bate Delta Work for the National Hunt Showpiece come April. Tiger Roll is set for a first outing since last year's National this coming Sunday when he goes in the Boyne Hurdle at Navan. Trainer Gordon Elliott was asked today by Mike Vince if he thought Tiger Roll would be out on his own with the handicappers.
Listen, I thought Delta would be up there with him, you know, after his performance last weekend. But listen, Delta's probably he's a definite non-runner this year. He goes for the Gold Cup. But Tiger's in good form. I haven't discussed it with Michael already, yes, but hopefully it'll be all systems go.
And most important and positive news, you are on course for the Boyne Hurdle, because I know, you know, for some months you'd hoped to make the Boyne Hurdle, but now he is an intended runner on Sunday.
His entries are made today. He's in good form as well. Look, he's not as fit as I had him last year. But it works perfectly. It's a month back to Cheltenham, so leave us behind.
We'll talk to Johnny Ward about that in the next hour. There's Championship football on tonight.
Yeah, and Leeds badly need to get their promotion push back on track. Marcelo Bielsa's side have lost their last two games ahead of their trip to fellow promotion hopefuls Brentford, who themselves could go second with a win tonight. Fresh from beating Leeds, Nottingham Forest welcomed Charlton to the City Ground. Birmingham could make it 3 wins from 3 with victory away to Barnsley. Elsewhere, Blackburn entertained Hull. QPR go to Swansea. Conor Masterson on the bench for the home side and Ryan Manning starts. And struggling Wigan host Middlesbrough tonight. Despite a valiant comeback, Fergal O'Brien suffered a first round exit at the Welsh Open today. The Dubliner battled back from 3-0 down to level his match at 3-3 with Mark Joyce, but Joyce edged the deciding frame to take his place in round two. Earlier, Mark Allen progressed to the second round with a 4-1 victory over Andrew Higginson. That was Allen's first win of the season, and the Antrim man will face either Jimmy White or James Watanabe in round two.
Cheers, Richie. So after 8 o'clock, Mick Foley of the Sunday Times will give us his analysis of the GAA Director General's annual report. That's Tom Ryan, his second year in the role. And up next, Irish captain Ciara Griffin.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.